tweet at TodaySOR.
Late last year, the government announced that a statutory home care scheme was to be set up in this country, the aim to provide financial support for older people in need of medical care who choose to stay in their own homes rather than go to a nursing home. The Minister of State with responsibility for mental health and older people, Helen McEntee, is with me now. Thank you very much indeed for coming in, Minister. You've published a report now compiled by the Health Research Board today. We'll get on to that in a few minutes. But first of all, what have you been asked to look at here?
Within the research report? Well, really, I suppose what we have at the moment is a situation where the only certainty that older people have in this country is that they will have access to long-term residential care. And that's obviously a good thing. However, what we see and what I know certainly is that people want to stay in their own homes, in their own communities, provided with support for as long as they want and as long as is possible. So what we need to introduce is a similar type scheme that will be affordable, that will allow people to access that support, but that will also give them choice. So the Health Research Board report looks at four different countries, Germany, Sweden, the Netherlands and Scotland, and we chose those four because they have a similar type framework and structure as we do. And essentially we have asked the board to look at regulation in those countries, how the home care schemes are rolled out and how they're costed essentially.
As we know, because we hear the ads on the radio and see them on television from time to time, there are already companies running services I presume the key is with the statutory scheme you're talking about maybe a wider availability and people being helped to pay for it as opposed to doing it out of their own pocket.
Well, you're talking about providing certainty. At the moment that certainty is not there, and if you look at the figures, about 80% of home care that's provided at the moment is actually paid for privately or through informal arrangements. So that means 20% is through the state. What we also know is that about a fifth of all of our older people require some level of care, and that's only going to increase. We're a growing ageing population. Thankfully, we're all going to live longer according to the statistics. So we have to plan, and this is what we're doing, and this is what this research report is about. It's the first step in a conversation that we as a country, I think, need to have. How do we provide this level of support for our older people? It will give us an evidence-based review of what's happening throughout other countries in Europe, what works, what possibly doesn't work, what might work for us. And the next step, which is a really important step actually, is the launching of a public consultation. So that will happen at the end of May, and it'll give people an opportunity. So older people, people who currently provide care, people who are involved in this sector or not, an opportunity to have their say on what they think will work for them.
One thing I think that emerges from this report, the study of these four countries, is that in all of them, they're tightening the availability because the costs are going up. They're making it maybe that little bit harder for people to have access to home care.
There are variations in all four countries, but what is very clear, and one of the questions that was asked, is the level of care being provided adequate? And in all four countries, the answer was yes. So they are ensuring that they are providing a level of care that is adequate to their needs, and a lot of them are based on the individual needs of care that the actual person needs.
What exactly would a home care support scheme look like in your view?
Well, again, this is why we're having this conversation. So this is the start off with the publication of this report. Again, we need to ask the people of this country what they feel it would look like and how it would work for them. But this is a process. No decisions have been made yet. And I think we need to allow that
process to happen. Yeah, but I think just from a quick read I had of the executive summary of the report you're publishing today, they're looking at things, for instance, like personal care, nursing care, household tasks, which, for instance, in Scotland, people have to pay for themselves if they have an income of over £16,000. Then I think in Sweden is that they have a provision for emotional and social supports.
Well, what all four countries actually provide is a basket of supports. And again, there is a certainty. People can access those and they know that they can that there is an affordability because either there is a subsidy or there is some form of co-payment.
Yeah,
so
and
what we need to look at is what do we currently have here and how can we make that work for our own country?
At the moment, I think you were saying a few minutes ago that about 20% of our care, home care, is provided by the state. That would be the home care packages provided by the HSE. But they would be, in many instances, well short of what people feel they need because resources are stretched. And there's a waiting list, and there's a lot of people who would need them but don't have them.
Which is exactly why we're doing this. You know, we have a situation where, depending possibly on where you're living or what the funding is for that particular area, you don't have certainty that you will get access to this. And by introducing a statutory scheme, a uniform scheme where there is a minimum level of support, then people have certainty. So this is what's really important, and this is why the Fair Deal works as well, because people have certainty. They know that when they need that long-term residential care, it is there, and we need to introduce something similar to suit the needs and obviously to tailor it around what people need when they're living at home. So whether it's respite, whether it's daycare, whether it's that home help, not necessarily the healthcare, but helping people with their shopping, with their groceries, with their washing, doing all of the things that they maybe might need just a little bit of help.
Have you any idea at all what kind of budget might be needed for this?
Again, we're at the very start of a process here. So looking at other countries, how it works, doesn't work, getting people's opinions. After that, that's when we need to start formulating what this might look like.
Yeah, and for instance, one thing that's a feature of the others, say, I think all four countries that you looked at, is that people have an element of personal choice, because they either get grants or they might get vouchers, but they are then themselves in a position to choose a provider.
They are, and in Germany they have that system. So people are assessed, and there's a number of criteria that they assess people on. They are then given a particular score, and depending on what score you are in or what band you are in, you are then either given a money voucher or you're given a voucher in kind, which allows you to make that choice.
Do you think,
again, this is all about choice and giving people those options.
Do you think that there are many people who are in nursing homes using the Fair Deal scheme, for instance, who would be capable of living in their own homes had a scheme like this been in place?
Well, I mean, the Fair Deal is very clear in that the accessibility criteria to actually access the Fair Deal is that you must no longer be able to stay and remain in your own home. So we have seen that the length of stay in nursing homes has gone from when the Fair Deal first started to about 7 years down to an average 2 or 3 years. So it's about keeping that number as low as possible and making it a last resource for people. When you do not have certainty that people will receive that support in their own homes, then obviously sometimes they might end up in hospital, and that's obviously going to cost more in the long run. And if they do not have support to get them out of hospital, they may end up in a nursing home. So, I mean, this makes sense, not just for individuals, for me and you. I certainly want to stay in my own home as long as I can, but it makes financial sense, and it means that we are planning.
Yeah, but there have been, for instance, issues that have arisen with the Fair Deal scheme, particularly in regard to people being able to hide their assets, or at least trying to, while they're alive. Now, okay, when people die, they're estates are looked at, but for instance, they maybe have more resources than they're declaring. How do you apply eligibility? Would you see something akin to the Fair Deal scheme being applied here for this?
Well, the Fair Deal is very specific, and there have been suggestions that we could include home help into the Fair Deal. I made a choice last year not to do that based on a number of reasons. For me, you need to have both. This is not a question of we introduce a home care scheme and we no longer need the long-term residential care. The two of them will need to work hand in hand. The accessibility criteria is very different. So somebody's requirements to go into a long-term residential care is very different to somebody's requirements living at home. You also look at how their finance is looked at. Where you have somebody living in their home, yet their home might be used as equity. That's, to me, I don't know if that would be an option, because people are still living in their home, they have to pay their bills, they have to go about their daily chores. So I think there needs to be two very distinct and two very separate schemes that are tailored to people's needs. What that will look like, again, this is what this process is about. This is what the research report is about. This is why we're having the public consultation, to ask people what do they feel would work best for them.
Yeah, but at the same time, it has to be paid for. People, if they are in a position to make a contribution to it, is there any reason why? Okay, they are in their own homes, but I think it's a seven. The contribution is calculated at something like 7.5% of the value of the property, but up to 22.5%. That's a max. 3 years. I mean, why shouldn't something similar apply in this? I mean, why are you hesitant about it?
I'm not hesitant at all, I suppose, because no decisions have been made, because this is the start of a process. And we are open to all of these options.
How long do you think the consultation process needs to go on for that?
For me, 6 to 8 weeks is enough. This is something that I would have announced last year. So people are well aware of it. A lot of the organisations that I work with regularly are well aware of this and are already preparing and planning and know really what it is that they want. But I mean, any longer than, you know, I think
okay, so you have
weeks.
You launch your consultation at the end of May or thereabouts. That takes you in up to the summer holidays, give or take. Would you expect to have firm proposals by the end of this year?
Again, we know something like this is complex and it takes a long time. The nursing home support scheme took 7 years, so I wouldn't suggest that this
would
take...
To put together, you mean? Yeah.
Well, to put together, to come to fruition and to be up and running, I wouldn't suggest that we would be anywhere near that length of time, because I think obviously lessons are learned when you put a similar type scheme in place. However, we have to get this right. I firmly believe that we have one chance to do this, to do it right, to plan for an ageing population that we know, you know, we know this is the direction that we're going.
Yeah,
so we have to take our time and we have to get it right.
And that's fine, but I'm looking at the text line again. When will this happen, asks Gemma. I'm an OAP, an old age pensioner, at the end of my tether looking after a parent. I think it'll be too late for me. I'm in despair.
And I absolutely sympathise with that. And this is why we are doing it. This is why we are trying to move this process along as quickly as possible. This is why the public consultation will not go on for months on end. It's to give people a set time. Once the public consultation has closed, we will take this information. There is also currently a scoping exercise underway at the moment because, you know, there is a lot of, there's 367 million being spent on home care this year. There's almost 50,000 people in receipt of home care. So there is a huge amount of work actually taking place. And what we're doing at the moment in tandem with the report is identifying where the gaps are, where things are working, where they're not. And all of this will feed into the public consultation. And once that is over, we will get straight to work. We will start looking at what would suit us, what works for this country and what is sustainable, because there is no point in putting a system in place that we cannot maintain and that can't be sustained into the future.
Yeah, again, another query. If 24-hour care is needed, it can't be provided at home. This home care is only putting off the inevitable, leaving elderly people with a few hours here and there because their families don't want to use a nursing home.
Well, I mean, you have a variation. You have intensive home care packages. We have about 190 of them at the moment, which allow people who would normally end up in residential care. And it's not just elderly people, but maybe people with acquired brain injuries or through accidents to remain in their own home. That obviously is a smaller amount than the normal hours that we're talking about. But again, this is what the Fair Deal is for. It's where people can no longer remain in their home, that they will go into residential care. But we have to make sure that they have the option to stay at home for as long as possible.
Sure. And again, another query, and I think there's a scheme that looks after particular cases like this one. Now, whether there's enough money in it is another question. My mother is 85. She needs her house modified, as in the bathroom modified. What would she qualify for?
Well, again, there is an adaptation grant that is there that allows people to, you know, put stairs or the stairmaster into their house. If they have a two-storey, it allows them to adapt their bathrooms to make it livable and accessible. So this is something, again, we have to look at as a suite of packages. How will it work? So it's not just, and this is something I suppose I'm always banging the table with, getting older is not just an issue for health or social protection. It involves environment, it's transport, it's finance, it's social protection. Every department has a part to play in this.
Now, something I intended asking you about, and it's reflected in the responses of our listeners, regulation of home care standards is essential. And how can you provide that if it's being provided in different places?
Well, this is something we have to be very careful about because, as I've said, a lot of home care that's provided at the moment is within people's homes, and we don't want a situation where you have, and again, this is another reason why the Fair Deal would not necessarily work, because you have very strict criteria and regulation which you're applying to a nursing home. If you're starting to apply that to a person's home, then you're talking about something completely different.
No, but you might apply standards of training and qualification to people who provide the service and who work in it.
Absolutely, and we have that at the moment. So anybody who provides a level of home care must have their FITEC level 5, the same as if it's a nurse, they have to have their degree. So there are various different standards. And at the moment, anybody that is regular, anybody that is, as in any organisation, that is providing care, that is working with the HSE, they have to adhere to these levels and to these certain standards and regulations. What the report itself does is look at the five countries, see how they regulate it. Some of it is self-regulation, some of it is based on inspections, reports,
but every organisation has
to be accredited and has to reach certain standards and levels, and that's something that we would have to ensure as well.
What do you say to this listener, Rehome Care? There's absolutely no regulation or monitoring of the private home care industry. Our family had experience of two home care agencies, one good, the other appalling. When I tried to complain, I found that they do not come under the remit of HICWA or any other body.
Again, as I've said, those who are working with the HSE, you have to apply a certain level of standard and you have to be accredited.
Yeah, but where do you complain if you have a problem with them?
This is exactly why we need to introduce a scheme like this. Because
nowhere, is that the answer?
Well, at the moment, there's an ability to go to the HSE, but again, if it's not coming under HICWA, then we do have a difficulty, and that is why we have to introduce a system that actually provides that level of reassurance for people, because it's not there at the moment, and you're right, it's not there.
I'm not sure if this is a constituent of yours, might be. It comes from County Meath. My 94-year-old mother pays €60,000 per year for her home care. She gave up her medical care 8 years ago. She receives not a cent from the government, yet they took €52,000 from her in tax from her portfolio last year alone. If she lives another year or so, she'll run out of money. It's an utter disgrace.
Again, this is why we're doing it. We have a system that is completely unequal at the moment, and we need to make sure that every single person is treated equally, that there is affordable access to care and that people have that level of support, and this is why we're doing it.
Okay, and there will be firm proposals?
There will be firm proposals.
Okay, Helen McEntee, Minister of State with responsibility for mental health and older people, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.